Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Voices of Integrity Beauty. My name is Roberta Michelle Spikon, and I am the founder of Motivation for You, and it's the Vision Integrity Beauty Women of Excellence. Integrity Beauty Women of Excellence is a unique Christian ministry for women that includes pageantry, motivational speaking, and advocacy. Our program utilizes members' life experiences to enhance the lives of others and increase the participants' self-confidence and passion for Christ. Integrity Beauty is not a beauty pageant. It is a Christian pageant ministry that uses the crown and the sash as a tool to empower women to know that they are daughters of the King. The crown and the sash is used as a trademark of Miss Helen Albert, our visionary, which also represents that though we may be broken in God's sight, we are His princesses. I'd like to introduce to you our Director of Operations of Motivation for You and Integrity Beauty, Barb Darby. Today, Barb will be discussing canine health, nutrition, and the need for training and socialization. Hi, Barb. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Barb, I'm excited to talk about this topic about dog training. And how did you get involved in training dogs?
Well, it started when I was breeding Rottweilers. I thought that the puppies should be trained before they went home. So I knew a lady who was a professional dog trainer, so I had her start by training my puppies before they went home.
That's wonderful. And Barb, how old were you when you started training?
Do you really want to know how old I was? It was only like, let me think.
I mean, did you do it as a hobby when you were younger, as a teen,
nope.
Or did you start doing it when you were older?
Yes, I was older, only about 10 years ago. I was having Karen train my puppies for me, and she says, well, you should learn how to train a dog, too. So she trained me how to train the dogs.
That's wonderful. And what breed did you start with?
Rottweilers.
Now, are Rottweilers really as scary as people say that they are?
You know what? If you didn't bother to train or socialize, or if you're not going to breed, if you didn't spay or neuter your dog, it could be a real terror. But a well-socialized and a well-trained, well-rounded Rottweiler is a wonderful pet.
That would be the same with pit bulls, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, whenever you're talking about canine training, what would you like to say for some individuals that have a new little dog, little puppy? What would you say?
Puppies, when I was doing my Rottweiler puppy training, I started 8 weeks. An eight-week-old puppy is fully capable of learning. I actually have a video online. It's a puppy I trained. He was 10 weeks old in the video, and he knew sit, down, heel, and hear. On leash and off. So when people think that the dog has to be 6 months old before it can be trained, they're mistaken. You can start training at 8 weeks.
Now, would the same thing be for, like, seniors? Because I know my mom had a dog, and she had a really hard time training the dog.
Once you wait, the longer you wait, the more work you have to put into training the dog. If you say your dog has a bad habit, it yanks on the leash for the first 6 years of its life, and all of a sudden you're going to teach it how to walk on a leash, it's going to be a lot harder than teaching a puppy. So it's never too late, but it just takes more time and patience.
Now, would the training be the same for potty training?
Potty training, I like the idea of crate training, which means you get the puppy, it goes in the crate anytime you're not watching it. As soon as the puppy wakes up, you take it outside to where you want it to go potty. It goes potty, you praise it. You tell it how wonderful it is, have a little puppy party. And then, you come in and you keep an eye on that puppy at all times. And, you got to take it out often. And it'll learn that as soon as it comes out of that crate, it's time to go to the potty. You just let it, you give it your whole house to run. You're just setting it up for failure because, they really, until you teach them, they have no clue what you want. And number two, puppies really don't have the muscular control to control their bladder until they're like 12 weeks old.
Wow. So this brings up a good topic question then.
Yes.
Because my parents, you know, they're seniors and they had a puppy and they had a horrible time trying to train the dog. Would you suggest for a senior, I'm sorry, I'm asking because I'm just thinking my mom and dad, would you say for seniors that have a new puppy, wait until they can be potty trained first? Because I know my mom and dad had a terrible time because they weren't able to keep up with the dog because the dog was so young and hyper and it was really hard. What do you suggest?
Okay, I see you're talking about a senior citizen and not a senior dog.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just saying because, you know, like my mom and dad didn't have
right.
a crate and everything.
They,
and I mean,
they did have or did not have a crate?
They did not have. And I know that with the way my dad and everything's feeling, I know it was hard for them to put that much effort into the dog at first. So it's probably better for me to get an older dog, huh?
It would be better. You know what? I was the founder of the organization Shelter Puppies, and what Shelter Puppies does would be perfect for someone like your mom and dad. The puppies, they come in before they go home, and, you know, they like to get them between, like, 8 weeks and 12 weeks. The puppy comes in. It goes into a foster home. Those puppies are spayed or neutered. They are obedience trained, and they start the crate training, as well as, you know, all their vaccinations and vet care. So you're getting a puppy that's just ready to go. It's even already trained. That makes it a whole lot easier and a whole lot less to do. And, you know, for only $300, you know, you just can't get that anywhere else.
Absolutely.
I would say, yeah, for someone who's a senior and who doesn't have the time or, you know, doesn't really know how to train a dog, I'd say getting one that's all ready to go would be perfect.
Barb, whenever you are raising a puppy,
mm-hmm.
what's the best way to feed it? Do you just leave food out or what's the best way?
Nope.
To... Okay.
Nope. That is one of the things you want to do. You control the feeding. Depending on how a really young puppy should eat at least 3 times a day, like you get a puppy that's older and they can eat twice a day. My puppies would eat in the morning. The general rule is that they've got like 20 minutes tops to clear up that food. If they do not eat, you pick up the bowl and they're done until supper time. My experience is like 99% Rottweilers and Rottweiler puppies, and there's not an issue in cleaning out the bowl in less than a minute. but that's how it goes. You put the food down, they've got 20 minutes to eat, you take the bowl up. And they will learn to, they eat on a schedule.
Wow, okay. All right. It's like from whenever I was younger, it was put the food out, just let it sit out, and there you have it. So
yeah.
They only eat twice a day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of people only feed once a day. I'm big on feeding my dogs twice a day. And, you know, if they get a little snack in between, you know, usually it's while I'm cooking and they're getting like human food. They love vegetables even. But,
Well, that's a great topic then to discuss, Barb. So how does, a lot of people say don't feed your dog from the table. What do you think?
I believe that human food is, like table food, is actually better for your dog if you're eating a good nutritious diet. Now, fast food does not count. I'm talking like a beef roast and potatoes and carrots. That would actually make a better dinner for your dog than a commercial dog food.
Really?
Yes. Dog food only came along like after or during World War, whatever it was, back in the 40s and 50s. You know, because they needed something to the women started working. They needed something to make feeding your dog easier. So it used to be like a powder or, you know, like a ground meal that you added meat and water to make dog food. And then they just started kibbling it. And then, in my own opinion, they just take just all the junk that's not good for human consumption, and they feed it to your dog, which I'm totally against.
Wow. Okay. So is there anything from the table? Because I know that there's certain things like cats can't.
Dogs should never, ever get real chocolate. Anything with NutraSweet or xylitol or any of the artificial sweeteners could be hazardous. They're not supposed to eat like onions. I know people say grapes, avocados. My dogs do not get pork and, well, like bacon. I don't let them have, I consider it junk. If you tried to feed my dog a hot dog, I'd probably have a conniption. Because I don't believe that is a good enough food for my dogs to eat. And I know I occasionally eat hot dogs myself, but I don't want my dogs eating them.
Wow. Okay. So how can you tell if your pet has diabetes? Because I know, like, a lot of, that's what I was concerned about. If you're only feeding your dog or your cat once a day, what if they have, what if they're a diabetic and you don't realize that? Isn't that not, that's not good for them, right?
That would be up to the vet. Like, diabetes and stuff. I've never owned a dog with diabetes. So that would be something, whatever your vet tells you to do, the best you can do is to go to a holistic vet, and, you know, and even a natural, which is usually the holistic vets believe in more natural diet, and, you know, they might prescribe a raw diet. They might prescribe, you know, try to do it without just feeding them a whole bag of corn, which is basically carbohydrates, and then putting them on insulin.
Okay, so
I'm very opinionated, and I'm not saying to stay away from your vet.
I'm surprised that there's holistic veterinarians.
Yes, there is. They're becoming more and more prevalent. They don't believe in, say, they might not give a yearly vaccination, like a booster shot. Now, I do believe your puppies should all, they should have their basic vaccination. I do not believe in a yearly shot because there is a vet who studied for 40 years. He studied the vaccinations, and he has shown through testing that most of the shots are good for 7 years.
Wow.
So, yes. And it can be detrimental to your dog, in my own opinion and in the opinion of holistic vets, to vaccinate your dog every single year.
Wow. That is really amazing.
Yeah, so they're called titer testing. What they're doing is they're testing titers. You would have, like, for a dog, it could be like parvo, or it could be the canine hepatitis, where they would say, yes, your dog has enough titers that it is still immune.
So is that the same for cats, too, do you know, for the shots?
I'm going to say it probably is. Yet another question for your vet. You know, I'm not a veterinarian, and I don't pretend to be, but I will tell you I'm very opinionated.
Well,
I believe in natural and non-GMO and all that stuff, and I would never be a nurse because I will not get a flu shot every single year.
So that probably has the same bearing maybe on that too. Is there anything with, how about the puppy parks? Like when you go play, like take the dog to play?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about those?
It's a nice concept if it were monitored better. I know that I've known people who have puppies or dogs that have gone there and an older dog, like, say, had bitten the puppy. Now the puppy is not so kind with other dogs. So really it's for people who had their dogs up to date on shots. I know someone else who, well, that wouldn't be a shot, but their dog picked up hookworms there. So you really, you've got, you know, you're exposing your dog to other dogs who may not be so pleasant, and you're could be exposing them to, which is something, you know, you have to warn your dog. But, you know, your vaccines should protect your dog against any viruses. But, you know, in theory, if it was controlled, if it was a controlled environment, it would be very good. But when you get someone who takes their dog there who has no control over it and who just turns it loose and lets it run wild, and it's been known to, like, dominate and bite more than one dog. Now, that person, it really doesn't belong there, but it makes a dog park a bad place for everyone.
So I'm going to ask a funny question, but I'm being serious. So when your dog's rubbing his rear end and scooting on the floor, that means there's a parasite?
Yeah, butt dragon could be worms. It could be just his anal glands need emptied. And usually it's one of those two. I mean, he could just have an itch on his butt. But, yeah, butt dragging is generally, it's generally worms or anal glands.
Okay. Good to know. And what about grooming, Barb, since you're talking about that? What's the best thing to, like, how often should you bathe your dog? And what's the best thing to wash your dog with? I mean, can you just use your shampoo from home or?
Okay. Small dogs should not be bathed more than every 2 weeks unless you have to. A large dog, no more than once a month unless you have to. Human shampoo is generally too harsh, and it can dry out the coat and the skin. Quality dog shampoo.
So why is it okay to wash? Well, I mean, I understand the fur. I understand they're smaller, but why can't you wash a bigger dog twice, like the same amount of time as you could a little dog? Is it just because of the drying out, or is there something you might think it gets thick? Or?
Nope. It would just be it's more, you know, more drying on their coat and their skin.
Now, is it okay for dogs to, like, you know how, like, sometimes you see people playing at the lake and they throw a stick out in the water and their dog gets it? Is that okay to do, or is
As long as your dog knows how to swim.
Well, that's true. I mean, I just didn't know, like, with the water, like, with, you know, because if you're, like, at a lake that has geese or whatever with their droppings, and I didn't know if it would be bad for them, like, because you're taking them home, they were wet. Unless you're going to wash them, they would be drying in what they were in the lake. I'm just curious if they could bring anything home with them or
Yeah, usually, like, at the local lake, if there's a swim alert, that means also keep your dogs out of the water. If they say, you know, this area of the lake or something has excessive bacteria and it could be contagious, it could make you or your animals, your pets sick, then you should definitely stay out of the water. Generally, just, you know, people even have swum in the lakes for years. And there are still countries where they wash their clothes and drink out of it, even though I don't advise it. But
right.
It would wash some of the dirt off of them in a clean environment. But unless really there's some kind of stay out of the water alert, it's probably fine. They come out, they shake off the excess. They shake their head and they throw the excess out of their ears. If your dog was prone to, like, ear infections, I would say, you know, take some cotton balls and dry your dog's ears out.
Okay, so here's a good question. I was just thinking about this while you were talking, because I have cats. I don't have a dog. So how many, let's say you have smaller dogs, not a big one, because, I mean, common sense would be one dog would totally drink all the water to swim. But if you have average-sized pets, how many bowls of water should you have out per pet? Because, like, with our cats, we have a humongous thing that we fill up and the water keeps flowing into, like, a drain for the cats.
Right.
It's like several gallons. So I'm just curious, like, how many bowls are, not food bowls makes common sense to you. I mean, just for the water, how many should you have? Should it be one per dog or?
No, you need to, like, I have one. I use a bucket because I have Rottweilers, but there's one. I believe it's like a 9-quart bucket, so like a gallon and a half, I think it holds, which was actually that'd be 2 gallons, but I mean, it's a 6-quart. I think it's like a gallon and a half, but I just monitor it. If, you know, if it's hot and they've been running around or something, they, you know, they usually don't clean it out during the day, but if they were outside dogs and it was hot out and they were running and playing, they would definitely each drink probably a gallon of water. So it's something you just monitor.
And that brings up a very good point, Barb, because the weather's getting warmer. And could you please talk about the importance of not leaving your dog in a hot car? I get so angry when I see people that have their dogs in hot cars. They'll have windows cracked. I feel horrible.
Yes. Don't ever, 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 ever assume that because you parked in the shade, you can go shopping at the mall for the next 3 hours, because the sun moves, and when it does, so does the shade. If you watch the Weather Channel, every year they have how within 10 minutes it could be 130 degrees in your car. And it's not just dogs. People have pretty much killed their children by leaving them in the car, you know, especially toddlers. That's who I'm talking about there. But, yeah, and of just a little crack, if you think it's fine to crack the window just a couple inches for your dog, go ahead and sit out in the parking lot when it's 100 degrees in the shade, and sit in the car with your dog for a while.
Other thing is, too, is, you know, if you're going to be responsible, this is my opinion, if you're going to be responsible and have a pet, do not leave your pet out there in the freezing winter. Honestly, have a space in your basement or somewhere that you could put them that they're not out in the, I'm talking about when it gets really cold. I mean, have a heart, because, you know, we bring our cats in the winter, and sometimes it's a very big nuisance, but we do it because we're trying to treat them how we'd want to be treated. And, you know, I don't understand people that just have their pet tied up in the freezing, freezing cold. And how can you go to bed at night and that not bother you? I don't get it.
Okay, my take on that, there's two things. I don't believe a dog should ever be chained. It can cause a lack of socialization. You know, you just chain it out in the backyard and throw it in a bowl of food. And it also frustrates the dog, which is when you get the little kid running by and it gets mauled. So first off, I do not believe your dog should be chained out. If, you know, if you don't have time to walk it and you're around somewhere and you chain it out just for a few minutes so it can use the bathroom, that's one thing. But just to, like, desert it on a chain is wrong. And then my other point, yeah, I also agree dogs should be house pets, but there are conditions. If you have a working dog, like when I was doing search and rescue, you need a dog that is not a couch potato. So really, that dog should live outside, because if you get called out in the wintertime, you have to put your little vest on that dog, and you have to go search in the cold, and you have to search in the rain, and you have to search in the heat. So really, for a working dog, the outside is fine. But definitely against, you know, you don't just throw it out and stake it to a tree or something. But in a sheltered environment with proper bedding, and you, in order to for a dog to produce body heat, it also needs fresh water to drink. So that's also very important.
So how often should you change the water, Barb, if it's, like, really cold outside? Like, I'm talking about, like, freezing temperatures.
Right, right. Say in the wintertime, you know, if it's real cold, there's a really good chance that dog's just going to hang out in his doghouse or the garage, and hopefully in a doghouse, wherever you keep him. And I would say that you should make sure that water is is not frozen at least twice a day. That would be a minimum.
Okay. Is there any form of like heaters or anything like that you could buy for pet that are outside?
Yes. I have one point to make, and then I'll address that. This came up when, like, you're crate training a puppy. You don't necessarily leave water where it can drink as much as it wants. Dogs in the wild, sometimes they only drink, they, like, chug up once a day or twice a day. So, you know, it's not like a human where we carry our water bottle with us and just have a sip here and there. But number two, they do make, usually they make them for, like, for, you can get them at the feed store. You can use them in, like, a water trough. There are heated bowls, actually little plastic dog bowls or bin plastic dog bowls. My concern would be, like, with my dog, they would chew that cord and electrocute themselves.
Oh, yeah, you have a Christmas vacation on it. Okay,
like, yeah, for me and my situation, it's better for, like, if I have an outside dog, to just make sure that it has, like, water. You know, I'm not opposed to having an outside dog. If, you know, when I have my dogs outside, and it's cold, they get a heated breakfast and a heated dinner. And
exactly.
Warm water to drink.
There you go. That's great, Barb. And Barb, we have just a minute left. Is there anything else you would like to share in closing?
Let me think. Let me see what I wrote down here. No. Just basically train your dog early. Make sure you socialize it. Find a good dog trainer. There are group classes. I know locally it's like $135 for like 7 weeks of it's a group class, but you work on sit, down, heel, here, stay. If your dog jumps, she'll work with you on that. Just get your dog into training. It's good for also socializing your dog. If you're not going to breed, you could consider spay and neuter or be a responsible dog owner and just don't allow your dog to mate. And feed it a good quality diet and make sure that it gets enough fresh water.
Well, thank you, Barb, for joining us today. I really enjoyed your topic, and I look forward to hearing you again, talking to you, discussing more canine health, nutrition, and training and socialization with you, Barb. Thank you for your time today.
And thank you for having me.
We'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to Barb Darby, and if you have a topic you'd like Barb to speak on, please feel free to leave comments. You're welcome to follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Join us at Twitter at Motivation for You. You can email Barb at bdarby@msintegritybeauty.com, or please join us in our mission to heal hearts and inspire lives at www.msintegritybeauty.com. If you have a message, Integrity Beauty has the mission. And until next time, be a world changer.